Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Breeze fakes the toss. Here's the drag for Ginn. And Atlanta missed the tackle with Alford. And Ginn into the end zone. Ryan, five steps, looks right, throws, end zone. Caught! Calvin Ridley, touchdown Atlanta. Falcons Saints, huh? This is my first spin through this, boys. I got it. 21-yard try for Lutz. Snap, spot, kick by Lutz is good. Looks, going to cut it deep. Down here's Ridley, caught it in stride. Calvin 20, 15, 10, 5. He geared down to wait on some competition. Touchdown Atlanta, 75 yards. Snap to Ryan, Saints only bringing three. Ryan with time. Matt pumps, now moves left with it. Going to reload, throw, caught, running across the back line. Calvin Ridley, another score. Kamara in the backfield. Breeze in trouble, and Beasley will sack him. Ramchek had no idea. So here is Bosher with Ted Ginn Jr. drifting back. Blocked. New Orleans got to it, and the ball is loose, and it is scooped up, and Craig Robertson has it inside the 20 for the Saints. Okafor and Justin Hardy were both back there. Okafor, I think, was the gold helmet that got the hand on it. Breeze off the far hash, looks left. Now buying time, steps up, throws, caught. Meredith, is New Orleans got a touchdown? They do. Cameron Meredith, snap to Ryan. Looks right, Coleman to catch. Inside the five, kept his balance. Touchdown Atlanta, stuck the ball right over the pylon for the score. Atlanta for two here, leading by four. Snap to Ryan, Hooper's there, wide open, caught it. Austin Hooper took three steps, and New Orleans lost him, Arch. High formation, Black. Breeze wants the throw, line the catch, stuck it in the end zone. With Duke Riley there, Zach Line the fullback, his 11th career reception. Snap to Matt, pushes the pocket right, shoots it over there, caught, Sanu, touchdown Atlanta. Atlanta will go for two, Ryan looks. Now comes back left, gives ground, throws, end zone, caught. Sanu gets the two-point try for Atlanta. To the right is Thomas. Breeze wants the throw. Now going to dial up, goes to the left side, and Breeze dodges out of a missed tackle and dives for the touchdown. Poole had a chance, and Breeze spun out of it. Line and Kamara behind Breeze. Breeze going to try and dive over, and he does, and that's the ball game. Quick snap, Drew Breeze over the top. And New Orleans wins in overtime, 43-37.
It's about wins and losses. You know, it's, I guess as I get older, you realize that too. It's not about you, it's about us and what we do as a team. And you know, obviously, you know, it's nice to throw touchdown passes and do
Sports
all those
Radio
things.
Sports Radio 92.9 the game.
It's all about winning games, winning football games. And so we're disappointed that, you know, we didn't get it done today.
It is a Falcons Monday on Sports Radio 92.9 the game from the Kia Studios. John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 the game. Falcons fall in overtime to the New Orleans Saints, 43-37, a disheartening loss that sends the Falcons to 1-2 on the season, 1-1 in the division, in a game where Matt Ryan threw five touchdowns, and still the Falcons managed to find a way not to win the game because New Orleans wins in overtime. And, yeah, we could talk about this because I know a lot of people who want to talk about these overtime rules. I'm not going to debate that today. That's for another time this week. Today is all about, you know, what do you do now, because that's the big question. The Falcons have lost so much on defense in terms of personnel, they may have lost Rico Allen on top of that.
Yeah, man, the defensive side of the ball has been decimated by injuries this year. I mean, and you know, this is one of the areas where when we looked at this team, we felt that it was poised to take that next step in the evolution of Coach Quinn's football club, where that they would take the lead and they would take some of the pressure off of the offense. Doesn't look like that's going to be the case. Looks like now that this offense has found its stride at the right time, John, because they're going to have to win games like that. They're going to have to score. They're going to probably be in a situation where they're going to have to outscore a lot of the teams that they play against and be in position to score every time that they touch the rock. I mean, that's probably what you're going to be looking at. There's going to be some high-scoring games, especially, man, if Ricardo Allen's out, boy, it's going to be a long one.
Yeah, and we don't know about Rico this morning. It was said to be a calf injury, but I think there's some concern that it might be something far worse.
I hope it's just a calf
injury. I hope it's just a calf, too. I'm praying this morning that it's just a calf and that it's not far worse, because if it's far worse and he's out for the year, man of mercy. Right after the tough, heart-wrenching loss, Matt Ryan throwing for 374 yards, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. The quarterback was in the locker room. Dave Archer caught up to him to talk about where the Falcons stand now.
It's about our brotherhood, man, how tight we can get.
This is the First and 10 with Dave Archer and Matt Ryan on the home for our Atlanta Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Well, I think most people that watch you and Breeze go head-to-head, it's always a shootout, and this one didn't disappoint for a fan's perspective. I know you guys are disappointed in the outcome.
Yeah, you know, a hard-fought game, and that's sometimes the way it shakes out. You know, playing New Orleans, they're so talented offensively. You know, proud of the effort and the fight that we all had, but when we had our opportunities to make plays to finish the game, we didn't do a good enough job. And it's disappointing, but it's one, and it's early. And so, you know, we get back to work tomorrow and try and be better to go against Cincinnati next week.
How difficult was it for you and Sark with the inability to run the football? They took the run game away. Now, you threw 5 touchdowns and lit it up, but still there were those moments where you're backed up against the chains.
Yeah, I mean, it was tough sledding in the run game today. Credit their guys up front. I mean, they played well in the front 7. You know, and we're at our best when we get that run game going. But I was proud of the way they stepped up in pass protection. Our offensive line did a great job in pass protection the entire day. And we just fell a little bit short. We didn't make enough plays to get it done.
I know you're trying to score every time you touch the ball, Matt, but is there any moment where you allow yourself to think, wow, we're really beat up on the defensive side of the ball. I got to make some plays.
Yeah, I mean, you never want to see guys go down, and that part of the game is tough. You know, that doesn't get any easier the longer you play. It probably gets more difficult the longer you play because you see what everybody puts into it. And so, you know, it hurts when you see guys go down, but your mindset in game has to be the same. You know, you got to find a way to get it done, and you got to trust the other guys that are coming in to make plays. And collectively, we just fell a little bit short.
All right, last thing for you. Calvin Ridley goes off. 7 catches, 146 yards, 3 touchdowns. You obviously have a tremendous feel for he's got a great sense of what he needs to do out there. Tell me about his production.
Yeah, I mean, it was fantastic. He stepped up and made plays for us today when he got one-on-one opportunities. You know, their plan was to try and double who and then to have help for Mohamed Sanu in a lot of situations, too. That leaves one guy one-on-one, and he took advantage of those opportunities. I'm really proud of him. He played great.
You're not supposed to lose games where your quarterback throws 5 touchdowns and we don't turn the ball over, but I know you regroup and get ready for next week.
That's it. You're right. We regroup, we get better, and get back to work tomorrow and try and get a win next week.
Thanks, bud. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Arch.
That was Dave Archer with Matt Ryan immediately after the game on a Falcons Monday. And the downer to what was a spectacular, I mean spectacular sports weekend in Atlanta with Tiger winning for the first time in 5 years and in such dramatic fashion at East Lake, and the Braves clinching the NL East at home for the first time they win a division in 5 years, and with Atlanta United shutting out Real Salt Lake and taking a big step up to winning the Supporters' Shield and being the top team in Major League Soccer to have this happen yesterday. And again, we don't know about Rico Allen-Hugh. We only hope it's a short-term injury, but that's all we can do right now is hope, because the Falcons are hurting right now.
Devastated.
Literally.
Devastated. But Coach Quinn, you gotta think that Coach Quinn is going to start looking around and see what he can do. But the biggest thing, it all depends on how long Rico is going to be out. If he's going to be out for an extended period of time, then you're going to start looking for like a more of a long-term solution. But if it's going to be a short period of time, you'd look for a short-term. So it all depends. I know AT was talking about Egg Reed being out there. That might be a name. That might be an individual that they might look at. Don't know. Because I think that for him, there's a little bit more that goes along with the fact why he's not playing. But we'll see where the Falcons are with that, because you're hurting right now. You're hurting in that secondary, and it's clear that with Rico out that there were some issues. There were some issues in that second. There were some issues lining up. You know, you got a lot of young cats out there that are calling plays that and I know Coach Manuel was on the sideline probably going crazy when his defense wasn't lined up in the right area. So you're going to have to figure something out.
All right, let's talk about this. We'll have Dan Quinn's comments in just a moment. I do want to let you know that on our social media right now, we're talking about where the Falcons stand on Facebook and also on Twitter at 929 The Game, where we're asking the question, how concerned are you regarding the health of the Falcons? You can vote not concerned, we can still win. There is some concern, others can step up, or you're a lot concerned, it is a serious problem. And so far, 77% of the fans are saying that there's a lot of concern, 19% saying there's some concern, but others can step up. Only 4% are saying that it is not a concern and they could still win. Dan Quinn, after the game, talking about how this loss felt.
We certainly have work to do in our winning moments. Thought we had our chances certainly at the end of the game in all three phases for some of those. And that part we didn't nail. So this one stings for sure. Division game, environment exactly what you want it to be. And, we definitely expected a good fight, went all the way down through it in overtime as we expected. But to come away with a loss today definitely stings.
The defense had a very long day. Now, Hugh, one of the things that we're going to hear from Dan Quinn right now is about missed tackles. I don't care if it's next man up or not. The whiffing on tackling on this team is not acceptable. You got to be – if you're a professional football player, just sticking your arm out and whiffing on tackle after tackle after tackle is not acceptable.
Well, John, I mean, you're right, but I think you could probably blame that on – the way some of these games are being officiated and some of the calls that they're being made. Now, granted, that is no excuse for allowing the quarterback to do a spin move and make it into the end zone. But still, as a defender, knowing how they're trying to protect quarterbacks nowadays.
Dive for his legs, do something.
I tell you what, John, I don't know. I don't know if I would be that guy that in the heat of the moment that I would be thinking about what the refs are going to call. But it's a possibility that some of these kids are. I mean, it really is. When you think about some of the egregious calls that have been made, you think about some of the calls that have been made on Clay Matthews.
Well, yeah, Clay Matthews has had two of the most
ridiculous. Was it three times?
Three straight games.
Now, I have seen the plays where Clay Matthews has been called for roughing the passer. And I will say this. I can see where they are calling it. I can see what they're seeing, but it's still not right because it's a momentum thing.
I'm amazed you can say that, Hugh. And here's why. You played the game.
Yes.
Okay. To the rest of us, this is astonishing
it's
to me
it's
flag
a textbook
being thrown
tackle
on this guy.
But what it is, AT, if I know you have to see it, but it's the way his momentum drives down. It's almost like it's just the way that he tackles. That's just his form tackling. But it looks to them like he's trying to drive them into the ground.
Well, you're assuming that.
Yes.
I don't believe this dude is trying to intentionally hurt somebody.
But that's how they're looking at it. Because when he tackles, it's almost like he's trying to lift you up and put you down, which is when you think about in the realm of tackling, that's how you're supposed to tackle. Get him up, get him off the ground, get him off the feet, get him on the ground. But they're looking at it like he's trying to drive all his weight onto their body.
I would just accept anybody hitting a 39-year-old AARP guy that can't run, for crying out loud. Dan Quinn after the game talking about those missed tackles.
Tackling, yep. And I thought, coming into the half, that was one of the things that we talked about which got to improve for us. Certainly had some errors and some technique things that I know are correctable, but that doesn't take the sting away from it, from not owning it. Some of these men have been in the system long enough to totally nail it, and we missed that mark on some plays today.
And, again, missed tackles. I just drive you nuts. I mean, you're going to have to play with it. Look, stop with no excuses here. I mean, we'll talk about this here. All right, before I get ahead of myself, one more from Coach Quinn talking about how they may have to look outside this team to get some help right now.
That's Thomas and I just discussed that, and we'll continue to discuss that afterwards. We have some other guys with some versatility that we would try to plug around. We'll see what the length of the injuries are. That would certainly make a difference if, we went outside to consider looking at anybody else. If it's shorter term, then likely we'd say, inside.
That's why the name Earl Thomas, who's out there, came up. I know that the Cowboys had talked about Earl Thomas, but, familiar with the situation here. And, again, this goes to the whole issue about injuries because – there's something that somebody wrote, a Packers fan wrote in and on our Twitter here, Hugh, and he was talking about this situation with the Falcons and injuries, and his name was Paul, and Paul said that he said, the Falcons have avoided major injuries the past 3 to 4 seasons. Welcome to what every other fan base deals with year in, year out. And certainly the Packers have dealt with injuries, but Paul, the Packers fan, doesn't understand that in 2016, the Falcons at the end of the year and into the playoffs had 10 players on the IR, 10. including, among others, Kamal Ishmael, Desmond Trufant, Adrian Claiborne, Jacob Tammy, and Spoon. They were all out for the end of the year and for the entirety of the playoffs, and the Falcons managed to make that work.
Not when Spoon, but to lose Rico Allen, that's something different. I mean, and we saw that. I mean, if that's the case, not trying to jinx the situation, but with Rico Allen not on the field, that's a huge blow. You could ill afford to lose him. I mean, you really can't. And you can't go into another game thinking that, you know, everything's going to be okay without him out there. He's huge. He's very, very important to that defense. Very.
No, he's critical of the defense. Debo out. And again, all you can hope now is that the Falcons could go out and maybe make a move for a guy like Earl Thomas. Pray that Rico Allen isn't out for the year. Get Debo healthy fast enough that he could be here for the stretch run. And get Tack back. You know, and if you can get Tack back, because Tack will come back.
Tack is not. John, if Tack's injury is the groin and it's a pull, like they said, I think they said it was a pull, it's going to be tough. I mean, it's going to be tough for him to function at the level that you want him to function at.
But it's not season ending.
No, but it's going to be tough for him to function at the level you need him to function at. It's going to be tough. He'll be out there, and hopefully it doesn't hamper him too much. But to have a groin pull and to be a defensive lineman, that's gonna hamper him in the pass rush department.
Yeah,
for sure.
it's going to be on the offense to have, you know, what they did in the Super Bowl run, have a record-setting season. And win the games. They got the ball back with a minute 15 and a couple of timeouts. They could have won the game if they had not missed, if Tevin Coleman doesn't miss a block, and they advance the ball and get a first down on that third down play. Maybe they end up getting into field goal position and winning the game. Who could tell? Hey, by the way, the National Signing Bonus comes back next week. Next Monday, a week from today, starting October the 1st. You can tune in for the code word 9 minutes after the hour, each hour from 7 to 7. And text the code word to 72881 from your cell phone and win maybe $1,000 in National Signing Bonus back a week from today. Kauffman Tire is back right now, $100 off any set of 4 new tires at Kauffman Tire, kauffmantire.com. Kauffman Tire, the official tire retailer of the Atlanta Falcons. Three weeks into the National Football League, and boy, is it really topsy-turvy and all over the place. The Falcons are not the only team having issues right now. I'm not diminishing where we stand at all. Last place in the NFC South at the moment, and 1-2 on the year. Not a good spot to be in, but other teams are struggling too. Now tonight, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers can go to 3-0 as they take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. There's a team that could suddenly be 0-2-1, and they have all kinds of internal problems, as you know, with the Steelers going on. And, of course, that's a game that you can hear on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we get ready for the Bucs and Pittsburgh tonight. There are other teams, Hugh, that are struggling, not the least of which, of course, is the New England Patriots. Late last night, the Patriots got whooped by, of all teams, the Detroit Lions. It was 2 weeks ago when the Lions fans in their opening game against the Jets wanted to fire Matt Patricia. Now he has a 16-point win over his old head coach. How about that?
Yeah, that's crazy, man. I mean, Matt Patricia gets his first win of the season against his old mentor, his old head coach, Bill Belichick. Not only that, man, the Lions have a 100-yard rusher, the first 100-yard rusher they've had since what, Reggie Bush and Kerryon Johnson?
That is correct.
Young man from Auburn. I thought that was pretty impressive. But, again, John Fricke, it's the Detroit Lions, and that's not – that's not me trying to say anything to be disrespectful. It's just that, you know, it's still early in the season and there's still plenty of time for the Detroit Lions to do what the Detroit Lions do. And that is, you know, not a whole lot. Not a whole lot. But a good win. Good win last night. Tom Brady looked mortal. He looked a little upset.
133 yards and one touchdown and one pick.
He looked a little mortal, and it got me to thinking, man. And I don't know I don't feel like I was right for this, because you never root for anybody's demise, especially when he's played this game at such a high level and you have a tremendous amount of respect for the guy. But Father Time, nobody outruns Father Time. Look like Father Time kind of caught him a little bit, just a little bit.
Well, back to the NFC South, where the Falcons are 1-2, Stinky Town is 2-1, Bucks are going for 3-0 tonight, and now suddenly the Carolina Panthers are 2-1. After yesterday beating the team the Falcons will face next.
Newton fakes a flip, goes back left side, caught Anderson with blockers. 20 to the 10.
pylon, left side. Touchdown!
He had a police escort all the way down the
well
sideline.
Well done, young man! Well done, young man!
Panthers radio and the Panthers beat the Bengals. We get the Bengals next, and so again, you know, it's either going to be a three-way tie with the Bucs and the Panthers in New Orleans, or the Falcons are going to find themselves two games behind Tampa, three games into the year.
Yeah, man, it's a tough place to be. No question about that, John, but it's still a lot of football left to be played. And there's some decisions that have to be made by the Falcons brass. What are you going to do? Your defense is suffering a little bit. A lot of what they're going to do, I think, depends on whether or not how banged up Rico is and how soon you can get Rico back. But you're in a position right now where you're probably going to have to make some moves that are going to make you a little bit uncomfortable or make some moves that you weren't anticipating making at this time.
And then, of course, there's other news in the NFL. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about the fact that the surprises continue. The Minnesota Vikings, one of the favorites in the NFC, at home against a team that has probably been right there with the worst of the worst, the Buffalo Bills. Nobody had Buffalo winning this game. I mean, nobody had the Bills knocking off the Vikings.
From the 26, Allen going to throw it. Fires, got a man wide open at the 6, and he's caught into the end zone. Touchdown. It is Jason Kroon wide open. Touchdown, Buffalo. Great ball fake by Josh Allen. Looked straight down the line of scrimmage at his underneath receiver as soon as he took the snap. Pumped that way, and Jason Kroon was all alone. Touchdown, Buffalo. How about that?
Yeah, how about that? They were ahead 27-0 to the final 2 minutes of the game, and a late touchdown by Minnesota only kept it from being at home, by the way. A shutout loss to the Buffalo Bills. Go figure this season, Hugh.
I'll tell you what, man. That's why they say any given Sunday. Any given Sunday in the NFL, man, that's why you play the games. Coach Herm Edwards said it best. That's why you play to win. And no matter what your situation looks like, I mean, you go out there, you got to play. That's why Coach Quinn, as dire as the situation looks here, Coach Quinn's not going to, you know, he's not going to push the panic button. They're going to go out there and make some moves, but no, they're not going to push the panic button. And you just got to go out there and get it done.
The Patriots off to a slow start. The Vikings lose badly by 3 touchdowns to the Bills. And the Jags, another one of the favorites, lost 3-2 in field goals yesterday to Tennessee in a game that didn't even have 450 yards in offense. I mean, it was just nothing on offense for either team. A 9-6 win for Tennessee in that game. Then there's Kansas City. Kansas City's 3-0. Now, they've got no defense. But, boy, is Pat Mahomes lighting it up. Pat Mahomes just unbelievable once again.
Ball on the right hash, meaning where? Will shade to the right side of Mahomes. Now trotting in front of Mahomes, who barks out an audible call, looking left, now makes a hand gesture. To his right is Tyreek Hill out of motion. Mahomes, slant, caught inside the 10-yard line to the 5. Sammy Watkins breaks, tackles, touchdown! Kansas City, add another to the list for Patrick Mahomes. Sets another NFL record, a 12-yard touchdown pass. Mahomes is third of the game, 13 in 3 weeks, but to 9 different receivers as Watkins finds the sweet nectar of the end zone.
Pat Mahomes nearly 900 yards, 13 touchdowns, no interceptions in 3 wins.
Sweet nectar of the end zone. I can say right now with all confidence that Patrick Mahomes is probably going to be at the Pro Bowl this year. He's going to be at the Pro Bowl. John, he threw one pass, I think it was a 4-yard pass, in the end zone where he scrambled and he was on the run. And he threw a laser. He threw a BB for a touchdown. Like, that's hard to, like, to throw, be able to throw with that kind of accuracy on the run. That's hard to do. They got a special quarterback. Now it's going to be on Coach Reed to see what they can do in the postseason. Because it's probably safe to say in that division that they're probably going to go to the postseason. Getting a little bit ahead of myself, I know, but this young man looks pretty good. And you know how it goes. You get off to a strong start. People be talking about you all season long because he's off to a strong start. No
he is the fantasy guy at quarterback right now. If you have Pat Mahomes, odds are you're winning a lot of weeks. So Pat Mahomes, again, tearing it up. Now, speaking of tearing it up, Jimmy Garoppolo torn ACL. That's what they're fearing right now. The MRI will prove it today. Boy, if Jimmy Garoppolo has a torn ACL, the San Francisco 49ers season probably is shot. I'm not going to, you know, dog. Who's the backup there? You know what? It's Iowa. C.J. Beathard, Bobby Beathard's nephew. Right? That's correct. Correct.
It is. Your guess is as good as mine.
I'm pretty sure we're gonna C.J. Beathard, the former Iowa coach, Iowa quarterback, who's Bobby Beathard's nephew. I believe
you're right. C. Beathard. C.J. Beathard. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Look at you, John, knowing stuff.
And so, you know, it's just not going to be a good sign for the 49ers. I mean, C.J. Beathard's an okay quarterback. He is not Jimmy Garoppolo.
No, yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo was a guy that they traded for. they bet the house on the young man. So yeah, for him not to be out there is it's gonna be pretty devastating for them. Who was it yesterday that said? Was it Reuben Foster who said yesterday that he basically should have got out of bounds? Mm-hmm. I think it was Reuben that said that. I'm not sure. Was it Reuben?
It was Justin Houston.
No, it was Justin Houston. I knew it was one of those guys. But he was like, "Hey man, you got to get out of bounds. You got to get out of bounds on that."
Of course, a lot of the chatter this morning, though, is about the fact that Clay Matthews, for the third time in 3 weeks, gets flagged. Matter of fact, people are mocking it all over Twitter. And this is a problem for the NFL. Set aside the debate as to whether or not these sacks are putting your weight on, like Grady got called for in the game against Philadelphia, putting your weight on him. I mean, I don't know how you define it. I mean, Matt got sacked once yesterday, and I was like screaming, well, isn't that putting your weight on him? I mean, isn't that what it's about? Nobody knows what this is, this rule that suddenly – now, the Packers lost to the Redskins by 2 touchdowns, but it was – and, I mean, Mike McCarthy was hopping mad, and I think he had every right to be because nobody is – forget the helmet rule. We all thought it was going to be the helmet rule that was going to be so controversial. Turns out this is the controversial rule.
Well, again, like I said, I can see where the NFL for Clay is – a little bit upset. I can see that. Don't nobody get mad at me. I can see what they're talking about because it looks like he's trying to hurt them. It looks like that just from the simple optics. But I don't think that's the case. I just think that's the way that he tackles because I could probably pick out a number of plays where Clay's done the same exact thing and it wasn't an issue. But now all of a sudden it is. You know, he's a big imposing figure. They're probably looking at it like that as well. But he's being targeted, no question about that right now. And he's probably going to have to change his game just a little bit. I mean, I know he doesn't want to. I mean, he's dying to old school.
What do you do?
The best thing for him to do, and at the risk of probably not making the tackle, is to, like, when he hits somebody, to just throw his hands up, just run into him like he's breaking the tape. When he's running a 40.
I think what you have to do is you have to dive at their legs.
Hit him with your chest.
I think you have to start diving at quarterback's legs.
You don't want to dive at a quarterback's legs.
Well, what else? Really, what are the choices?
They're really called penalty on you. You do that. They really going to get you for that.
So you just don't tackle them? I mean,
I just told you what to do. Put your chest out like, chest tackle. Like you're doing a chest bump.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I'm saying at risk of not making the tackle.
Man. This is not good. The NFL's
get him a pillow.
I mean,
get him a pillow when you tackle him.
Boy, this is a bad look for the NFL. Anyway, it's going to be an interesting game tonight to see if the Bucs can take out Pittsburgh, another team that's having a different kind of – Pittsburgh's issues are so different than anybody else because they're internal, apparently, with the Pittsburgh Steelers. But Pittsburgh has to avoid an 0-2-1 start down in Tampa tonight against the Bucs. And we're actually rooting for the Pittsburgh Steelers, a team that we'll see – in 2 weeks. We see the Bengals next, and then we see the Steelers at Heinz Field in 2 weeks. But we're rooting for the Steelers to come away a win because you don't want the Falcons going 2 games back of Tampa this early in the year. All right, when we get back, the weekend wasn't a total loss. Matter of fact, aside from all of this that we're yakking about with the Falcons, the weekend was phenomenal. The Braves are going off to the playoffs. Who do you want to see the Braves play in the opening round? That's next with John and Hugh on this Falcons Monday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
At the horn, the ball game's over.
Taking a look back at the Falcons game with Falcons Monday.
Our Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is the Falcons Monday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and I know that there is a lot of angst about the Falcons right now, but you know what? I don't want that to ruin what was a spectacular weekend because there's so many good things happening in Atlanta right now. Tigers emotional win at East Lake that cemented forever this tournament. I think the legacy of the tour championship was cemented yesterday with what Tiger did as a truly major event. It's going to be moved next year, by the way, in the calendar, so it won't be in September up against football and playoff baseball and whatnot, you know, everything else that was going on. They're going to move it to August next year. Somebody said, well, it's going to be hot in August. Well, it was hot this week. I don't think it'd be any hotter in August. And then, of course, Atlanta United's big 2-0 win, a big step towards possibly winning the Supporter Shield with four games to go and getting that spot in the CONCACAF Champions League and all that means. And then, there, of course, there is the Braves. Yesterday they won, but that's not that really all that important. What's important, well, it may turn out to be important for home field, but it's not that important because the day before was when they did the big thing and they clinched the NL East Championship.
Clinched.
Out to left. Fittingly, Acuna. Ball game. The Braves are back. National League East champions in 2018. What an improbable season for the Atlanta Braves, who have punched their ticket into October.
Yeah, just a shame that that game was on Big Fox and not Chip Carey call. But nonetheless, the Braves beat the Phillies, sweep the Phillies out. The Phillies collapse below their feet, and the Braves take advantage, win five in a row, and cement. And this is really good news, Hugh. We talked about this. I did not see a sweep coming of the Phillies.
I didn't either.
I was hopeful that they might have been able to take three out of four and clinch this yesterday and be able to go on the road already having this in their back pocket. But I didn't exactly expect it, and now they have.
I didn't think the Phillies were going to fold like a tent. I can imagine what kind of heat Gabe Kapler is getting, the manager, the Phillies manager is getting in Philadelphia right now, because at one point they were the leaders of the pack in the NL East, and then after they faded, the Braves never looked back. So I'm pretty sure that he is getting a lot of heat for his analytics and some of the moves that he made early in the season.
Yeah, I mentioned the race right now. With six games to go, the question of rest versus rust, and it seems that what we saw yesterday with Adam Duvall and Lane Adams, who turned out to be the hero yesterday, is that we're going to get spot starts here and there. And we're not going to get wholesale changes, but just spot starts.
I think that's the best way to go, John. You don't want everybody getting cold at the same time. And I think that's one of the main reasons why the Braves are in a position they're in right now, is because every other night there's always been a different hero that has stepped up for this team and has made it happen for them. So I think they want to definitely keep that going.
Yeah, I think you do as well. And you had the opportunity with Lucas Duda to play him at first base a couple of times and give Freddie a couple of days off. But I don't think you want to give Freddie a day off right now because he's finally started to warm up.
Yeah, that's the thing. You don't want to do that because he's one of the guys that, you know, you talked about early on that he has to step up for you, has to be big. And it seems like he's starting to work his way back. So you definitely don't want to give him too much time down.
Yeah, it doesn't look like the Braves can catch the Cubs for the number one seed. The Braves only have six games left. The Cubs are four ahead of them in the loss column. But the Braves are in a spirited race with the Dodgers. The Dodgers are a game behind the Braves for home field in that opening round. Remember, the opening round of the playoffs, only five-game series, all right? And so only being a five-game series, that makes it a little bit more difficult, you know, and you want to get home field advantage. I know that the Braves will play better on the road, and some fans are going to say it doesn't matter, but, boy, it'd be nice to have the playoffs start in Atlanta, not have to go from Philadelphia, you know, back here and then fly clear across country to face the L.A. Dodgers. That would be, you know, something that I would want them to avoid. It's not like they're going to be playing, you know, the Cubs or the Cardinals or anybody. They'd have to fly all the way to L.A., so for my preference, Hugh, I'd rather they play here. And so I think getting home field for the opening round of the division series would be a good thing. But listen to us talk. There's six games to go in the year. Hugh, I looked out at these standings, and I almost cannot believe what I'm seeing. Now, you could talk about the other teams, the Mets and the Nats and the Phils, all collapsing. Fine. They all collapsed. That's good. I mean, whatever. The fact that the Braves are nearly 10 games ahead in the NL East and have clinched with six games to go, who could have possibly have seen that coming?
Nobody. I'll tell you what. It's one of those things where, yeah, people are going to talk about the fact that the Mets weren't as good as advertised, or even the Nationals for that matter. More so the Nationals than the Mets. But you take advantage of the situation that's presented to you. And you do that, and that's exactly what the Braves have done. You know, we talked about how this year wasn't a whole lot expected. Alex Anthopoulos' first year. And he really held on to a lot of pieces where – most GMs, most managers, when they come in, they're going to make wholesale changes because there was so much wrong with this team. He didn't do that. He stood pat. Didn't trade away any quality pitching. And this is why you're in the position that you're in right now.
Right. I mean, 10 games. Right. You have to give him credit. I mean, we know that there are going to be a lot of postseason honors coming the Braves' way. And one of them will be probably for Alex Anthopoulos. And you look at that and think, wow, you know, they were able to keep all these pieces, all these young players. They didn't have to part for a whole lot. And they still end up winning the division. They're going to win the division. They may win the division by 12 games. I mean, 13 games. I mean, it's just unbelievable to see what the Braves have done in terms of running away with this division. Now, granted, they're not going to get to 100 victories on the year, but still, you mentioned it earlier. You said, what was the big question coming into this year for the Braves? Where were they going to find the power? They found the power from Ronald Acuna. They found the power from Johan Camargo. They found the power from their bench. You know, guys hitting clutch home runs, the Charlie Culbersons of the world. You know, Ozzie having over 20 home runs in the first half of the season. They found their power in spots the year that Nick Markakis had for this team. So they got contributions all through the lineup, Hugh. It wasn't just one guy or two guys or even three guys. It was 1 through 8.
And that's what helped them stay afloat all season long, John, because you talk about the slump, the many, many, many slump that Freddie Freeman was in and how somebody would step up that night. You talk about Johan Camargo coming along at the time that he came along and started to play better. It's so many different names. Ryan Flaherty is another guy that played well for you at the beginning of the season. There's so many different names on this team that you could look at, unsung heroes on any given night that they played, that they were the ones that were the catalyst for the Braves to win.
Look, I'll take the L on Johan Camargo. I mean, I was frustrated. Yeah. But I'll take that L.
You got to take that L.
I will. I'll take the L. Okay, it's fine. I'll take the L.
Take that.
Yeah, I'll take that L. I'm glad I could take that L. I mean, if I take that L, that means very good things for the Braves, right? Okay. All right, good. Better for the team and not for me. I mean, I was frustrated with him at the beginning of the year, and he just grew into a clutch guy and a guy that, you know, got better as the season went along. This is why Alex Anthopoulos is running the team and not me.
Yeah, and Charlie Culbertson, another guy. Another unsung hero for the Braves. Charlie Culbertson was another guy.
We said we're going to get to everything today. We're halfway through the show. We haven't even been able to really get into any college football because of the nature of everything that's going on. So we'll get into a little college football next and bring up to speed on where we stand. New AP poll is out and where the SEC is after that weekend. Next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.